clear, my name is Brian. I've been here on staff for the last 10 years almost, or 9 years now, and I've been leading our Harbor young adult community for the past five. I've been married to my wife, Katie, for 5 years now, and we are expecting our first baby in just 1 month. It's crazy times. We're going to have a corona baby, it looks like, but we are really grateful for that and grateful for God's provision. I want to share a message with you tonight called Essential Activity. Essential Activity. And you know, as Governor DeSantis a few days ago released this order for us to stay at home, he said that we could only leave our homes for essential activity. And so I don't know about you, but I was looking at the list and trying to figure out, are the things that I was kind of wanting to do, are they considered essential activities? And I found out that pretty much none of them are. But basically this idea of an essential activity, it's basically saying we're not gonna do anything except for the thing that is the most important. And as we enter into Easter week and as we think about Palm Sunday, we have to realize that Jesus is in a moment in his ministry that where he is doing the most important thing. The reason that he came to this earth was for what happened during Easter week, starting with Palm Sunday, but ultimately leading to the cross and leading to the empty tomb. And so Jesus is in this moment where he is starting essential activity. His ministry, his teachings, his miracles are all but over. And ahead of him is the cross, the reason that he came to this earth to die for our sins. And that's where we dive in, Matthew chapter 21. I hope that you're there and that you'll read along with me. We're gonna start in verse 1, and it says this. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. So Jesus, in this moment, he is making a choice to make a triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. He will be on a colt, a young donkey that's accompanied by its mother. And he sends his disciples ahead to get this donkey and to bring it back. Imagine if two just kind of random people walked into your driveway and grabbed your car and said, hey, just to let you know, the Lord needs this car. That's what's happening right now. You know, and this leads us to our first application point. Right now, you know, there aren't a lot of hand sanitizer bottles laying around. So let's say you are at your supermarket and there's only one left and you're going for it and another person goes for it. I just want you to try this. Look them in the eye as you reach for it and just say, the Lord needs this. It may work. I don't know. You might get a hand sanitizer out of it, or you could be the Christian and let them have it. I don't know. Anyways, this idea of the Lord needs this, it carries with it this idea that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. You see, Jesus was fully God. He was the Lord. And so even for, he didn't have, or like he owned everything. He created that donkey that he was riding down into Jerusalem. And so it was actually his donkey, but then at the same time, the Lord had needs. Jesus was also fully man, and he didn't have a place to stay, much less a donkey to ride. And we see this beautiful paradox of Jesus being both fully God and fully man in this moment. Let's keep reading verse 4. It says this, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. So 550 years before Palm Sunday, the prophet Zechariah wrote in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and predicted that Jesus would one day ride into Jerusalem on this donkey. And this is such a beautiful thing because God is saying to the people at that time, I need you to realize that this was prophesied and predicted. He's saying, look at Jesus. This is who it is. This is my son. This is my Messiah. But unfortunately, they didn't have eyes to see. Let's keep reading verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on him for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the tree and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna means save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So there's a great celebration as Jesus enters into Jerusalem. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Now, I want you to take a moment with me and imagine this story. Last year, I got a chance to go with Pastor Mark to Israel. And I actually took a picture from the top of the Mount of Olives looking into Jerusalem. The picture is up on the screen right now. I was standing at the top of the Mount of Olives, and you can actually see it goes down into a valley called the Kidron Valley and then up into the city of Jerusalem. And if you could see on your screen, that golden dome that is in the middle there, that is on the Temple Mount. All right, you guys can take that down. And so imagine with me for a second this moment. If I'm speaking to any kids right now watching with your families, I want you to put on your imagination caps and think about this moment. Jesus riding down the Mount of Olives on a donkey. And by the way, when I went to the Mount of Olives, I did not realize it is steep. I got a newfound respect for donkeys, okay? Like donkeys are impressive because he rode down that mountain with Jesus, and Jesus already had a lot of people with him. And so there's this crowd that is with Jesus, and this crowd is walking with Jesus down the Mount of Olives, and they get so excited that they start cutting off palm branches and laying cloaks down, and they're celebrating, and they're so excited and saying, Hosanna is Jesus. And then this other crowd from the city of Jerusalem sees them coming, and they start to go out and meet in the middle, and there's this massive and amazing assembly that's happening, this almost parade carrying Jesus into Jerusalem, and ultimately he would go up to the Temple Mount. This is a moment of great celebration and jubilation. And so we have to realize in this moment that this is kind of a crazy and exciting thing. It's so crazy, in fact, that the entire city gets a stir. Like they are all asking, who is this man that is being celebrated with this great parade? So this leads us to ask the question, what does Palm Sunday have to do with us in 2020? Especially what does it have to do with us in 2020 in the time of the coronavirus where we are all in this massive season of uncertainty? Well, I believe God has a message of hope this morning, and I want to share three thoughts with you about what God wants to speak to us. The first thought is this, that we worship a humble king. We worship a humble king. You see, we have to realize that the expectation of the people was very high when Jesus walked down or rode down this mountain. You see, tradition at the time was that a conquering king would actually ride a horse into a city leading a victory parade. And this would be a symbol of the fact that he had conquered and he had won a huge battle. Now, the people in Jerusalem, they had been waiting for hundreds of years, thousands of years, for a savior, for a king, for a Messiah. And so when Jesus rode down and then up into Jerusalem, they're thinking, this is our king, and he's going to overthrow Rome and help us to reestablish Israel as the kingdom. But here's what's crazy, that God actually wanted to turn their expectations on its head. Because see, Jesus, he wasn't riding away from a battle. He was actually riding into battle. And he was not going to enter Jerusalem and overthrow Rome by military might. But he was going to fight a greater enemy than that, Satan, sin, and death itself. And he wasn't just going to bring Israel back, but he was going to create a kingdom that would spread throughout the world and throughout time, inviting people into his kingdom. You see, there is a great irony with Palm Sunday. Because the same people that cried out, "Hosanna to the King," are the same people that 5 days later cried out, "Crucify him." And Jesus, he didn't enter in and overthrow by military might. He laid down his life as a suffering servant. And it wasn't a physical kingdom that he built, but he created a spiritual kingdom and invited all of us into eternal life. You see, we got to understand that God's vision was so much greater than just that one city of Jerusalem. We have to understand that God wanted to send Jesus to save the entire world. And God's plan has always been in every activity that he has taken to invite people into salvation and to invite people into a relationship with him. Maybe you're watching right now and you do not know Jesus Christ, or maybe you know about him, but you don't have a personal relationship with him. And I want to let you know that God right now is inviting you to draw near to him. He's inviting you in the exact same way that he was inviting them. We serve a humble king. And I know that I'm speaking to some business leaders, and there are a lot of business leaders in our church. And you know, in our corporate world, so often the expectation and the drive is that you would step on top of everyone else to get to the top. But what Jesus demonstrated in this moment was that he was going to get as low as possible. He was going to humble himself so that others could thrive around him. Now, this is good news for us in April of 2020. This is good news for us as we face the next month or the next season of our lives. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it's up on the screen. It said, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Here's what I want you to realize today. That the fact that God sent Jesus to die for our sins proves to us that God is for us, and it proves to us that God is working for our good. Now, I can't promise what the next few months are gonna bring, and it may be some difficult months ahead, but I can promise that God sent Jesus to die for our sins. And because of that, I can promise that God has promised not to leave us, and that every day when you wake up as a follower of Jesus, Jesus will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. We serve a humble king. Now, the next thing that I want us to write down, number two, the thing that I want us to think about is this, that a frightened world needs a generous church. A frightened world needs a generous church. You know, I have been so inspired as I've looked and read about the healthcare workers that are literally risking their lives to keep our community safe. And I know we have many doctors and nurses and healthcare workers who are a part of our church, and we just want to say thank you. We are so grateful for you. And we know that in these moments and in this time, you know, our healthcare community, that they are literally walking into places that they know they are putting their lives at risk so that others can have life. And this is exactly what Jesus did on Palm Sunday. You see, the day before Palm Sunday was Saturday. I know, deep stuff. I'm bringing you some really intense scholarly work here. The day before Palm Sunday was Saturday. And Saturday would have been the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, it was a time of pausing and a time of reflection. It says in John chapter 18 that Jesus knew everything that was going to come before. And so Jesus literally knew every single beating, every single betrayal, every single disciple that would turn his back, every single physical, spiritual, emotional turmoil that would take place. And on that Sabbath, he paused and he thought about those things, and yet he still chose to enter into the city because he gave his life for us. And it says in Philippians chapter 2 that you and I, we are called to imitate Christ. You and I are called to give just as Christ gave. And so a frightened world that we are living in right now, we need a generous church. We need a church that's willing to give so that others can experience the love of God. Now, I'm not talking here about sending money to our church. Now, of course, if you're a member, or if you're part of our church family, of course, you know, tithe and give and all of those things. But what I'm really talking about is us as followers of Jesus loving our community right now. There are a lot of ways that we can give. We can give money and we can give resources. We can look for neighbors in need or families in need and buy groceries or put gift cards in their mailboxes. And maybe you're saying right now, Brian, like, I'm one of those families in need. Like, I don't have any money or any resources. Let me encourage you that there are other ways to give. You can give of your time. You can actually take the time to pray and ask God to lay someone on your heart and then call them or FaceTime them or text them or email them and just let them know, hey, we love you. We are praying for you. Let me just take a moment and share God's hope with you. You can share with your words. You can be generous with your words. Words have the power of life or death. And in this time, we don't need our words to be critical and cynical and complaining. We need our words to speak life to the world. And so let's be a people who give. And I'm sure as I'm saying these words, maybe there are some people out there who are saying, Brian, look, this is really hard. This is not the time for me to give. Like, this is the time for us to hoard as much stuff as possible and stockpile as much stuff as possible because I got to make sure I'm okay. And I feel that, and I know, and I've been in the supermarket and I've been in Publix and all those things and felt that need myself. But let me encourage you with a verse that is still true today from Proverbs chapter 11. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And I believe that as we give and as we operate with generosity, that we are trusting God for our future. That we are saying, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the next months are going to hold, but I do know that you are in those months, and I do know that you are not going to leave me or forsake me. And so I'm going to choose right now to put my trust in you. Maybe some people here, you need more than anything else right now. You're so discouraged, or maybe you feel like you're losing hope, or you feel like that you don't have anything to give. Well, let me encourage you. I believe that as you give, God will refresh you. And as you take a step of faith to maybe just pause for a second and ask God, how can I be a blessing to someone else, that you will experience that blessing back. And I'm not saying everybody's going to get jet skis in a giant house, but I am saying that I believe God will take care of you. And the one who is refreshed will be refreshed by God. The last thing that I want us to write down tonight as we think about Palm Sunday is this. It's up on the screen. Jesus wants our undivided attention. Jesus wants our undivided attention. You see, the story after Palm Sunday, it happens the next day, but I think it's so applicable to us right now. And so I want to invite you to look back at the text that we just read and look at verse 12. And in verse 12, it says, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And so what we see from this text is that Jesus enters into the outer courts of the temple. Now, God's original design for those outer courts, Jesus himself said it, that the house would be called a house of prayer, not simply for the Jewish people, but for all nations. And so God's hope is that people would be able to come into the temple and to be able to worship God there and to be able to experience the presence of God in those moments. But unfortunately, greedy men and men who were looking to extort the poor and men who were trying to make money for themselves had filled it with vendors and high-priced, overpriced sacrifices. And so Jesus cleared those things out because he wanted to return it to its original purpose. And you see the original purpose even in the next verse, that those who needed him the most came to him and they experienced healing. And I think that we as a church family can think about this and process this. And I pray that God would give us eyes to see this even in these days. You see, you and I think one of the most common things as I talk with people in our church, whether it be young adults or whether it be people as I walk around the commons or just have conversations, I ask, how are people doing? And the response is so often, I'm busy. I got a lot going on, Brian. My plate is full. Well, guess what? For a lot of us, we're not busy anymore. Hashtag quarantine. We are in a place where we probably have more time and space than most of us have had for a long time. And I believe that sometimes we can fill up our lives with a lot of really good things, but even though we have those good things, we can lose sight of the greatest thing, which is Jesus. And I believe that Jesus wants our undivided attention. And I want to be careful here, and I want to be really sensitive, because I know that with this season and with this disease and this virus, man, people are hurting and people are dying. And I never want to take a really bad situation and make it a sermon point, you know? And I don't know what all God is doing in this situation. I don't think anyone fully understands why he has allowed this to happen, and that's okay. But I do know that one thing that God is doing, I fully believe this with my whole heart, is that he is wanting our undivided attention. And I know in my life, as I'm at home, I realize that there are certain things that I have put my trust in that have been taken away. And I know that there are certain fears and certain controlling habits and certain idols that I have had that have been exposed. And now God wants to move them so that Jesus can have my undivided attention. You know, it says in Psalm chapter 24, it's up on the screen, it says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. In this verse, it's describing for us the one who has access to the presence of God. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is the only one who actually fits that category. He's the only one with clean hands and a pure heart. But the truth is, Jesus, he gives us clean hands and a pure heart when we believe in him. Praise God. But I believe that Jesus also invites us to a place where we actually can give him our undivided attention, where we don't lift up our soul to all of these other things, and where we say, God, I'm putting my focus back on you. And I hope and pray that our church will not be a church that just has this be a blip on our radar, but I pray that this would be a moment where we would recenter and refocus and rediscover our first love of Jesus Christ. And I pray that we are a church that is seeking God through the word, through prayer, through memorizing scripture in this time, and we look at this disruption as an opportunity to go deeper with him. We have been praying for revival, and hundreds of other churches around the world have been praying for revival. And I just believe that sometimes what happens in revival is that God takes away the things that we are the most comfortable with so that we can reorient and refocus back on him. And maybe that's what God is doing in the hearts and the lives of some of the people who are under the sound of my voice. I believe that Jesus wants our undivided attention. As we close out tonight, I want to do two things, and then we'll have one more worship song. The first thing that I want to do is I want to encourage and speak to all of the believers that are listening right now. You know, when we don't know what to do and when we live in a world of uncertainty, I believe that the best thing that we can do is go back to what we know. And so I want to speak to you and I want to encourage you with the promises of God. There are hundreds in scripture that can be applied to the life of a believer. Last week, Pastor Mark spoke on the promises of God, but I just want to read three. And I hope that it encourages you, and I want to speak this over you and over your family and over everyone who is watching right now. The first promise of God that he gives us is this, John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So God's first promise to us tonight and today is that we will have trouble. Now that doesn't sound like a super comforting promise, right? Like, Brian, that's not what I need right now. I need something a little more hope-filled. But let me encourage you that, you know, I realize this about myself. When times are going good, I don't really want to hear that there's trouble coming. But when trouble is here, it's actually slightly comforting to know that Jesus said this would happen. But that's not the only part of the promise. The rest of the promise says, take heart because I have overcome the world. And right now, our world, man, everything is shaken. Like there is nothing certain right now, but I am thankful that you and I as followers of Jesus, we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Jesus has overcome the world. And because we are followers of Jesus, we are a part of his kingdom. The second promise that I want to read to you is from Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And it says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. As followers of Jesus, Jesus has saved our lives. God has given us, made us new creations. He has given us access to the presence of God. And our ultimate hope is that we have eternal life in heaven. That's the beauty and the amazing reality that we have. And what Paul writes in Romans is he says, look, the sufferings that we're going through right now, like one day we're gonna look back and be like, that's not even worth comparing to the beauty of being able to see Jesus face to face and live forever in heaven with God. So there's going to be a day when we look back and we don't even think about these things because they were so minuscule compared to what we have in heaven. And this text, it was written to a group of believers who were going through much worse suffering and tribulation than most of us are going through, who are experiencing intense persecution for their faith. And so we can put our trust and hope that whatever we are going through is not worth comparing to what's ahead. The last thing that I want to speak and encourage you with is this. It's up on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus speaking, and he says this, look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they were. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. And I know that people are worried right now, and I know that people are not sure about tomorrow or the next day. But I want to encourage you that this promise of God is that God cares for our physical needs. Now, his primary concern is spiritual, but I believe that he deeply cares for the physical needs of his children. And so I want to encourage you with that reality today. And I'm not going to say that everything's going to be easy. I'm not going to say that things are going to look exactly like we are going to expect, or even that provision will come in the way that we expect. But I believe that for every follower of Jesus under the sound of my voice, that God cares for our physical needs, and he will provide and he will take care. I hope that encourages you, and I hope that that encourages your family. Now, before we go to a worship song, I want to do one more thing. I want to speak to anyone listening to me right now who would say, Brian, I don't know if I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't know if I've experienced that salvation and I've become a new creation. Or maybe you were at one point but walked away, and whatever's happening in the world right now has actually brought you back to a place where you say, I'm actually really worried right now, and my foundation has been shaken, and now I need to go back to my foundation in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you today that Jesus is waiting with open arms, and that he took that trip down the Mount of Olives and up into Jerusalem, and ultimately 5 days later he took that trip to Golgotha because he loves you and because he wants to save you. You know, you and I, our greatest problem and our greatest issue right now is not health. It's not financial, it's spiritual. And we all are sinners, every single one of us. And we all have only two options for those sins. Either we can pay for them ourselves, or we could put our trust in Jesus and he will pay for them. Those are our two options. And so I want to say for anyone here who does not know Jesus, who Jesus is not their savior, that I want to invite you to pray with me right now, and that Jesus will actually come into your life, that he will save you of your sins, but so much more. He will also give you the Holy Spirit, that you will have a personal walking relationship with God every day, that you will have hope for heaven, and that you will have hope not for just for this life, but for the life to come. And he will also send you on mission, that you won't just live for yourself, but you will be about the business of God, helping others to enter into his kingdom. And I think it's the best thing possible that anyone can do. And so I want to invite you to pray with me if you don't know Jesus, or if you've walked away and want to come back. Just say a simple prayer like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have walked away from you, but I'm thankful that my humble King died for me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I trust in you, Jesus. Please make me a new creation. I'm turning from my past and I'm walking into a glorious future with you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me a new creation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.